You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 65 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, April 1st, 2009. That is no joke. It's time again for another episode of the Wells Tech Podcast. I'm Martin Spriggs, and I am your weekly host along with Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Happy April Fool's Day.
Yes. Actually, as our longtime listeners know, it's the day before April Fool's Day, so we'll see what April Fool's has in store. We're going to try and do some predictive April fooling and take a little lighter tack to the Wells Tech Podcast. Not that we're overly serious, I think, from a day-to-day basis, but we're going to look at some fun things on the internet and in honor is not a good word, but in honor of April Fool's Day. And keep things a little bit on the lighter side, talk about some fun things, but also talk about some things that may happen on April Fool's Day 2009. We're already scrambling, Sally, because even though it's not April Fool's, we were going to have Rob Benson on, as we announced last week, to talk about viruses and security and some bad things that can happen, and that was kind of going to tie in with our April Fool's theme, but I guess the joke's on us because Rob is sick today, so it's just me and you. So we're going to have to work our way through our material as best we can, and hopefully our listeners will indulge us.
Yeah, it should be an interesting show, Martin. We've done our homework on April Fool's pranks, but I'm not sure how all that's going to play out, especially without Rob here to play them on him. You know, we were probably counting on that third wheel.
That's right. Rob is a good time, too. So we'll have to have him on at a later date and talk about... we had him on long ago talking about antiviruses and spam and the whole thing, and that landscape is continually changing, so we thought it would be a good time to have him on again, but he came down with the flu. He sounded absolutely terrible yesterday, and I know he was fighting something all weekend. It just caught up with him. But it's going around the office here. I don't know about your family or your congregation there, Sally, but it is the season.
Yeah, I've got a child homesick today myself.
Is that right? Okay.
Not fun.
All right, so let's talk about April Fool's Day on the web. The web tends to make a big deal of April Fool's Day, and I don't know if you just a little bit of surfing, a little Googling, you can find a lot of stuff related to jokes and to pranks and so on and so forth. You've uncovered a few things, right, Sally?
Yeah, I was reading my Twitter feed the other day, Martin, and Robert Scoble posted something and said, reminder, April Fool's Day is coming up. Don't believe anything you read on April 1st. Because, you know, some of the best things come out and look really legitimate, and they're totally bogus. Last year, there were a couple of really cool ones that I'll put links on the show notes to. Google announced a new search tool that could search in the future, so you could predict what was going to happen tomorrow or something to that effect.
That's modern really day virtual prophet, right?
Yeah. And they also announced something called custom time in Gmail, where you could turn back the clock, basically.
I remember, yeah.
So, you know, when you go to these pages and read it, they make it sound real scientific and, you know, backed up by all the research and all this. It's just, it's really fun how much time they put into their April Fool's pranks each year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. And there's probably even more this year.
Right. And we even found a couple of websites just specifically dedicated to tracking April Fool's Day jokes on the web. There's April Fool's .com and also April Fool's Day on the web.com, and they're both gearing up for 2009 jokes. So by the time you're listening to this podcast, you probably can visit those sites and see a list of the different jokes that have already been tracked and, you know, organized there on those websites.
Mm-hmm. I remember, I think it was last year, it could have been the year before, there was a phenomenon that kind of appeared on the web called rickrolling. Have you ever heard, did you hear that, Sally?
I can't say that I've heard of rickrolling. I guess I missed out on the fun.
They call it, there's a whole Wikipedia page, and we'll post that. It's wiki/rickroll. But rickrolling was what they call an internet meme. A meme is essentially a word-of-mouth kind of virus that spreads across the internet, and it kind of catches on, kind of an inside joke kind of a thing. It was based on the artist Rick Astley from a song that he made in 1987 called Never Gonna Give You Up. And essentially it was a bait-and-switch meme that essentially meant that you try and trick somebody on the web to clicking on a link of interest. And there were all kinds of examples of special offers. I think there was even one involving, I guess it was last year, it was involving Michelle Obama. And some things that she was involved with getting, you know, basically they would do anything to get you to click on this link, whether it was free stuff or interesting YouTube video or think that something that might interest you. And then when you clicked on the link, basically it played the music video from this song, Rick Astley. So thus the name Rick Rolling. So so if you're surfing along and ultimately you say, hey, I want free whatever. I want a free flash drive, or I want a free whatever. You click on the link, and you get the. Gotta turn it up. Remember that song, Sally?
Yeah, I do.
Means we're old.
Yeah.
Means we're old, yeah.
Does that mean I've been rickrolled on the Wells Tech podcast?
Well, kind of, yeah. For demonstration purposes only.
Okay.
So who knows what it'll be this year, but that was definitely the craze last year. So the internet is an interesting place, isn't it?
That's right. And, you know, if you're just looking for some interesting things to view on the internet, you can always use one of my favorite sites, StumbleUpon. StumbleUpon, mm-hmm. I think, Martin, was one of your picks once.
Yep.
You got me hooked on it. And basically, you go and put in some interest, and you click the magic StumbleUpon button, and it takes you to different websites that have just been tagged as being interesting in a particular category. So, great way to spend your April Fool's Day doing some stumbling and see what you come across. I love craft sites, so I'm always coming across cool crocheting sites, if you can imagine. So
yeah, the way StumbleUpon works is you enter your interests, and it essentially gives you a list or a roll of sites that match your interest, things that you would never find, but ultimately you stumble upon them based on clicking your StumbleUpon button, your SU button. And a great time waster if you have nothing better to do. But I guess I've found some business uses for it as well. If I'm looking for a particular topic or concept, I can enter that criteria in there and go through the web and find pre-searched sites that may relate to that. We've found some very good sites and things that we've recommended on this podcast as based upon some stumbling, you know, that we've done in the past. So
that's a good way to justify it, Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sounded convincing, didn't I?
That's right.
Actually, and, I haven't been doing much stumbling lately, but maybe on April Fool's Day I will do that.
In honor of April Fool's.
Yes, right.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to mention that's a lot of fun is software Easter eggs. I don't know if anybody's heard of that concept before, but basically developers oftentimes hide some things in their software that'll be triggered by some codes or whatever to do special things that you wouldn't normally expect in the software. A couple of examples: in OpenOffice Calc, you can put in some commands and launch a Star Wars game or a tic-tac-toe game in the middle of Calc, you know. Mm-hmm. So I thought I might share some of those in the show notes, and also go ahead and share those with my kids in the computer lab for kind of an April Fool's treat or whatever. See what capabilities their spreadsheet has.
Mm-hmm.
With these software Easter eggs. And we found a whole website dedicated to software Easter eggs. It's called eggheaven.com. So if you're looking for some software Easter eggs, actually it has a lot of Easter eggs, not just related to software, but, you know, all kinds of development.
Mm-hmm.
Includes these hidden aspects to it that you can unlock and pretty fun stuff sometimes.
Many, many, many applications have these hidden Easter eggs, and this is a good site to uncover those if you're just looking to have a little fun. So that's the theme of the show. Maybe looking at a more serious note, it's not going to all be fun on April Fool's Day if some of these predictions come true related to a worm or a virus called Conficker. And many of you probably have already heard, those of you at least in technology have heard about this, maybe are alarmed by it. But Conficker is expected to manifest itself, or what they call activate, on April Fool's Day. And there's been a lot of research on this. Essentially, a worm that it has infested your computer gets its marching orders from a master computer that takes over any computer that's infected. And these infected computers are called zombies. And they can be made to do a lot of different things. Worst case, they could infect your computer to the point that it's unusable, or erase your hard drive, or all kinds of things like that. Lately, we haven't seen a lot of those kinds of worms or viruses. The bad guys are trying to monetize what they're doing, as everybody else is, and make some money off of the infection. So there's all kinds of ways to do that, and we'll put a couple articles on the show notes that talk about that. It's unclear what this worm is going to do, and maybe that's why there's so much consternation about this Conficker worm, because we're not ultimately sure what it's going to do or what's going to happen. We'll only know on April Fool's Day. And so if you see your computer doing strange things, it could be infected. So I would suggest that you keep up with your antivirus. If you're not running antivirus, you ought to. Take a look at programs like AVG or Norton. If Rob were here, he'd probably give you a list a mile long. There's all kinds of them out there that will. McAfee is another one that would protect your computer. But even these vendors are kind of scrambling because essentially they're not sure what to protect against. So it should be interesting as we're trying to figure out what's going to happen on April Fool's Day with this Conficker worm. So this is serious stuff. It's really no joke, even though it's April Fool's Day.
You know, Martin, I've been listening to Leo Laporte, the tech guy, mm-hmm. and he's always promoting keeping your Windows updates up to date as mm-hmm. well. So, you know, make sure you're staying on top of those Windows updates, because they're battling it hard on our behalf at Microsoft, if you're a Microsoft user, and pushing out those updates to fill these holes that these kind of viruses are set to attack.
Yep. I think one other symptom that you might look for to see if you are infected is if your computer hasn't auto-updated itself with some of these security patches. So you can take a look at your Windows update and do a history and see if your computer is updating itself with these security patches. And if it hasn't, that might mean that you're infected, because they're very crafty. These worms are very crafty in trying to disable some of your updates. In fact, if you try and go to Norton or McAfee or some of these sites, you can't even get to them or download their software, because they've figured out, the worm creator has figured out a way to block those sites so that you're kind of trapped. I'm not trying to raise too much consternation here or too much panic, but it's something to watch out for. And especially if you visit sites that are, you know, the Pirate Bay type sites, or, you know, the BitTorrent sites that are a little bit questionable, you may want to, you know, take special notice of what's going on your computer on April Fool's Day. And if you're listening to this podcast, maybe that's a good sign. If you can't download us, and you wouldn't know because you can't hear our podcast, then you're in some trouble. So,
yeah.
Along similar lines, I was going to bring up last week, there was a Pwn2Own contest again. Basically, that's a contest where they invite all kinds of hackers together to see if they can hack each of the individual operating systems, Linux, Mac, and the Windows environment. And through security holes in different browsers. And the only browser that was not cracked was the new one from Google called Chrome. I found that interesting. The one that was cracked the fastest was Safari running on a Macintosh. So all you Macintosh users that thought you were safe, that's all changing, because I think it was cracked within 5 seconds, basically, is what it amounted
wow.
to. So it's out there, so you have to protect yourself.
For sure. Well, Martin, I guess it's time. I've been excited about this announcement that we have today of a new contest that we're going to kick off.
Absolutely. And it's been a while since we did a contest.
Yeah, and we kind of put our heads together. We did two contests in 2008. We thought we'd do something a little bit different now for our first contest in 2009. Just kind of open it up to everyone, and maybe we should set the scene a little bit. The concept with this contest is that you're stranded on a desert island, mm-hmm. and you've got to pick what your favorite software picks would be to be with you on that desert island. Yep. So we're
kind of like the CDW commercial where he's calling over to CDW and he needs all his equipment.
Yeah.
It can be free or fee, so it can be software that you pay for or software that is free. So we don't care. It just needs to be software that you couldn't live without, in essence, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it also could be in the cloud or actually installed on your local computer. So desktop or web 2.0 software picks will work for this contest. What we're looking to do is compile all the results so that we can get a picture of what the top software is out there that are used in our ministry settings by our listeners.
Mm-hmm. And how can they submit their picks, Sally?
Well, we pretty much will take them any way you want to get to us. You can send them to us via email at wellstech@wells.net or leave us a voicemail on our voicemail line. Don't have it handy, but I can get it.
Hang on. I'll find it. Oh, you got it?
414-375-2334. You can call us up and let us hear your voice. We'd love to play it on the show. You can send us a Twitter with your top picks or even post
or five
it on
Twitters,
our Facebook.
Yep, if they're long.
We're looking for your top five software picks. I don't know if I said five as the magic number, but yeah, just whatever way you want to get them to us, just let us know what those top picks are. And we're going to compile them all and dedicate a Wells Tech podcast to going through the list of picks that were submitted. Hopefully we're going to come across some new things, Martin. I'm excited to see what everyone's using out there.
Mm-hmm. And what is the fabulous prize in store for the lucky winner that we select at random?
Did you find a drum roll or not yet? I've got to come up with one of those.
I should have thought ahead of time. I'm going to find that.
All right.
Maybe for that show.
Yeah, we'll pick one of the random entries, and they'll win a gift certificate to our Wells Tech store, $25 to spend on wonderful Wells Tech merchandise. So if you don't yet have your Wells Tech t-shirt for summer or a nice hat to sport around at all the golf events you're planning to attend, then this is your chance to get it with a $25 gift certificate to our Wells Tech store.
Shameless plugs, left and
there
right.
You go.
Entry deadline is Sunday, April 26th, 1 minute before midnight. So that's the Sunday before the show. We record the show on Tuesday, so it'll give us time to rifle through all the stuff and pick the good stuff and figure out who's got good things to say and share that with all y'all. All y'all.
Yeah.
That's
good, Martin. I'm rubbing off on you. I
did spend 5 years in South Carolina, so I picked up a little bit of that.
Lucky
all y'all fella. Is plural for all, right?
That's right.
Okay. All right. We added last week a new segment to the show, and we've moved it around. We're trying to strategically place it in the exact right spot to make sure the show flows as well as it can, and that's the New Technology Showcase. And we try and pick some kind of technology that's in the news, a new version of something, something that's brand new on the scene, whether it be hardware, software, website, whatever it is. And the big news the last couple weeks has come from Apple and their iPhone product. The iPhone, something that I just started using and I'm excited to use, and I think it's a great platform. Apple just recently announced that they're going to launch a new software version. Right now we're on version 2.0, which had some pretty significant limitations. They're going to this summer launch version 3.0, which is free to all the millions of iPhone users. And I don't know how many iPhone users we have on the call or on the show as far as listeners are concerned. Yeah, you use the touch, right?
That's right.
And I have the iPhone itself, but this version 3.0 will be available for the touch and for the iPhone itself. And we interviewed Pastor Hans Kawe well, that was probably a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago even, talking about his uses of the iPhone. So I'm sure there are some out there. But just let's just talk a little bit about some of the new things that are coming. One of them that has been long overdue is cut and paste, or cut copy and paste. Almost every other cell phone, every other smartphone does this. Now iPhones finally, or the or Apple's finally getting into the game with cut and paste. We didn't think it would be that hard, but now you can actually snag that phone number from the email and put it in your contact list or all kinds of other uses, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a big improvement, kind of getting back to the basics there. But, you know, we got to start with those foundational building blocks, and I'm glad they're adding that in. It'll help a lot.
One that I'm excited about is Bluetooth. Now, it had minimal Bluetooth, basically, to a Bluetooth headset, but it was not stereo, nor could it really talk to anything else. It was a kind of a lame, I called it a lame Bluetooth. The 3.0 version of software will allow Bluetooth to stereo headsets, so that makes sense. If you've got an iPod built into your iPhone or your iPod Touch, or what do they call it? The iPod Touch? Is that the full name, Sally?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
You got it.
So it didn't make sense that you couldn't use wireless headphones with that in stereo. And I, as I've mentioned before, I listen to my podcast in the car, and what I do is typically wirelessly, at least with my old phone, I could wirelessly stream that via Bluetooth to my car stereo, which had Bluetooth enabled, and that was kind of cool. Didn't have any cords or anything like that, and so that's a welcome addition.
Definitely. One I'm excited about, kind of an odd thing, but they're going to allow external devices to make use of the charging port that's part of the iPhone. And one thing I heard is that this will allow for things like a blood glucose monitor to actually be attached to the iPhone. Having a son just recently diagnosed with diabetes, you know, he's real excited about the iPod Touch and wants one for himself. And if he were able to use it as his blood glucose monitor, that would be just huge, you know. So I can see some real interesting twists coming out of being able to attach these external devices to the port there.
Yeah, if you can track all that information and your nutrition information and do that the blood sampling, and then ultimately know exactly what kind of, you know, the amount of insulin that you need to take or what you need to eat or not eat. I think there's a lot of power and potential there. They talked about a blood pressure monitor for those people with that are needing to monitor their blood pressure. All kinds of things that could be connected to this device. That's something that most other phones can't do at this point. So I think that puts Apple a little bit ahead of the game and makes this device yeah, I think even more valuable for lots of different purposes.
You know, one podcast that I'm a huge fan of is called Podcasher, because my family enjoys geocaching.
Yeah.
That's a podcast dedicated just to geocaching, and Sonny on Podcasher is always saying that he's looking for an all-in-one device, this one device that'll do it all. And of course, with the iPhone coming out with GPS, that, you know, address some of the geocaching needs. But, you know, talking about these external devices and also the fact that they're opening it up more for more development on the iPhone, you're getting this all-in-one device, this really powerful thing, you know, that started out as an MP3 player, but now, you know, has all of your life on it. It's really impressive and wonderful to use. And
so, yeah, I held off for a long time thinking, you know, we use Windows here at the office, and this would be something that, you know, would be kind of out of the norm. But I've found it to be nicely integrated with our business applications. I can get my email, my calendar, my to-do list, all the things that I really wanted on my Windows mobile phone. Plus, I now have the iPod built in, which is a lot better interface than most other phones for playing music and podcasts. So,
yeah, but I'm enjoying the fact that it's all integrated with Google. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing Google really come out well with the iPhone, because you can sync. I know when Pastor Cowley was on, it was right at the beginning of the iPhone, and now they've come out with more and more that you can sync through Google. You can sync with Google Reader. You can sync with your contact list and all those things that you can manage easily, in the cloud. So it's exciting.
Yeah, and the platform has been so well received across the world that there are just developers lined up building applications, and that's part of the power of this, is all the apps that you can download and use And maybe we'll create some kind of iWells app or something that'll figure out the closest church or closest pastor. Or, those kinds of things are all possible in the future for our iPhone users. So
that's great, Martin. Get right on that.
I like that idea. So, all right, so let's go on to our picks of the week, Sally. What's your pick?
Well, I just wanted to point people to an article I was reading recently in USA Today, and the title of the article was it caught my eye. It says that we need to turn off our computers, and to the tune of $2.8 billion a year that leaving PCs on overnight is costing companies. So I don't know how many of our listeners leave their computers on overnight, maybe their computer lab in the school, they leave those powered on overnight, and it could be significant savings if you start taking the time to power down overnight. The dollars really tend to add up. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that we have a link to that in the show notes and just give people a chance to pause and think about that, with the economic situation, with the thought of being more economically environmentally friendly, it's probably a good idea to go ahead and make the effort to turn the PCs off at night.
Yeah, I remember a few years back, and maybe it's more than a few years at this point, but the experts were recommending that you not turn your computer off because it was harder on the computer and ultimately worse for the environment over time. But I think the way the architecture has changed on laptops and desktops, that's no longer the case, that turning them on and off is not a serious event for them. And as you mentioned, every penny counts at this point. So take a look
Definitely.
At that. And there are automated applications that will turn your computers off, too. Maybe we can dig up a few of those and share those on a later show. So you don't have to physically remember to go around and turn each one off. We can, shut them down at 7. Maybe one of our listeners can share what they use. I know a lot of our listeners manage computer labs in schools or high schools, and they probably deal with this all the time. So send us your ideas there.
One final plug is that I got that news off of the USA Today app on my iPod Touch,
okay.
Which is a really nice free app. So if you aren't using that one, you might want to check it out.
Yep. I have had my iPhone for about 3 weeks now, I guess, and I had resisted, much to my son's dismay, buying an app. I would only download free apps, and there are a ton of free apps, but I bought my first app for 99 cents. I figure it's not going to break the bank, even in tough economic times, and I bought something that would read feeds, so it would work nicely with Google Reader and all those other feeds out there. Works tremendously. So, but I look for the free ones first, and there are a ton of them, so... My pick is a web application that is essentially a web-based instant messenger aggregator. We've talked about some of these in the past. We've talked about Trillion that many of our users or listeners use. We've talked about, what's the one on the Mac? That's going to escape me now. Starts with an A.
I sure don't know.
Yeah. It'll come back to me by the end of the show. I'll have to look it up, or it's going to bug me. But basically, those are applications that you have to install on your desktop, and they require that you have the other IM clients installed as well. And I know, a lot of people have multiple IM clients or chat clients, so they've got MSN, and they have AOL, and they have Yahoo, and they have Google, and all those. And now you throw in some of the social networking chat clients like Facebook, and you just got you've got friends everywhere. What Mebo does is it's basically a website that aggregates all of those. You go to a web page and you log into Mebo, and then you sign up all your IM clients, and you don't need to have these installed on your laptop or desktop, and it basically brings them all together in one big list. And works tremendously, and I used it off and on, but the one negative that it had, Sally, was that you were never really sure. You had to have the window open all the time, so you always had to have your browser open, and you were never sure when somebody was sending you a message unless you had that window open. So if you had multiple tabs, you weren't quite sure when somebody was talking to you. Well, Meebo recently came out with a notification app called the Notifier, and now there's a little icon that sits in my tray, system tray, that tells me when I have an instant message, even if I don't have my web browser open. So it kind of sits in the background, so kind of alleviates the need to have that web browser open all the time, and essentially pops up a message that says so-and-so sent you, you know, this message. You can click on the link, your browser opens, and away you go. Totally free. I think this is a great application. I know there's a, speaking of iPhone, I know there's going to be an iPhone app coming out for this when they've got their, what they call their push notification, so that you don't have to have the application launched, but you can know when somebody has sent you an instant message. It'll beep you or pop up a screen on your iPhone that lets you know that somebody's trying to communicate with you. So that's Meebo with two E's, Meebo.com. Free, and I would suggest that if you are an IM person, this might be something you check out.
Just a one-stop shop to get it all done.
It's all there.
The board.
It's, what's kind of cool is it integrates with Facebook, so if you've never... typically have to be on Facebook to be chattable.
This
basically enables your Facebook status so that people that are on Facebook and prefer to chat that way can do that. I know that's what a lot of the Facebook users like to use, prefer to use over the other, a lot of the other IM clients.
That's awesome.
Let's move on to probably the largest segment of our show now, week after week, and that's our community feedback section. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, we've got, I think, 10 people that were talking to us in one way, shape, or form or another. So why don't we start at the top with Larry McGowan, Sally.
Yeah, Larry's from Pilgrim in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he just left us a post on our Facebook group page about some programs that they're starting there at Pilgrim. Particularly, they are working to establish a video ministry, and so he wants to broadcast via the local cable access in Minneapolis and in some of the suburbs. So hopefully Larry's going to keep in touch with us. Larry says that he's a fanboy of our podcast. I don't know, maybe he's our first fanboy of our podcast. But great to hear from you, Larry. What I found, though, Martin, was that when people write on our wall on the Facebook page, there's no notification there. So that's an area I think Facebook could really improve on. We don't really have a way to communicate with each other real easily and be notified of those communications within the group there. And I know another listener at one point had posted something there and then posted it on the Wells Tech listserv, and he got a lot of response on the listserv and no response on the group page.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of a pet peeve of mine. Maybe Facebook is looking at improving that somehow.
Maybe there is something out there we're just not aware of, so maybe our Facebook experts could help us out there and let us know how you get notified. This is on the group page that we're talking about, not on a personal page, so maybe there's a difference there.
Yeah, I looked for an RSS feed or something, but I'm just not seeing it if it is there. So it would be great if someone would enlighten us. But thanks very much, Larry, for your comments, and we'll look forward to hearing more about the goings-on at Pilgrim in Minneapolis.
Yep, maybe there's some kind of app. Maybe even an iPhone app. Who knows? All right, next we had a voicemail from our semi-regular technology. Oh, I screwed it up. Semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, Gail Potratz, who was on the show. Was it last week we had Gail on? Yeah, I think it was.
Yes, it was.
And she had a follow-up voicemail that we're going to play. Hang on. Let me see if I can bring this up.
Hi, Tech.
Hi, Martin and Sally. This is Gail. I was just thinking that it was strange that we didn't mention on our podcast as we recorded it that one of the biggest members of my PNL, and I hope yours too, is the Wells Tech podcast. When I think about all of the things I've learned from this podcast over the year, it's pretty amazing. And now we're starting to learn more and more, just not from guests and you guys, but also from the many callers and participants that contribute at the end of the show. So certainly this deserves to be mentioned as a member of the Personal Learning Network, and it is definitely that. It's on my page flake, and I see it every day where I can refer to it and where I listen to it each and every week. For example, just this week alone after the show, I hurried out to ponyfish.com to see if I could use Martin's suggestion in response to one of the callers this week as to how RSS feeds could be created for your own content and your own sites. I was disappointed to find I couldn't use it for one of my wiki sites. It doesn't work with wiki spaces, and that was disappointing, but I definitely will be using this on other things. Also, I did visit the WealthTech page and use the Digo button at the bottom of the page in that long string of icons. Clicked on that and shared that to my Digo social network so that now my friends who share bookmarks with me will see that, and hopefully some of them will listen to the podcast, and it will become part of our learning network as well for them. And finally, I gained a new tweet. We talked a little bit about Maria on the show, and she gave us her tweet name, a busy girl. So we are following each other on Twitter now, and I'm sure we'll learn a lot from each other as the weeks go by. So most definitely, the WealthTech podcast is a great part of anybody's personal learning network. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Gail. I didn't know we had a Digo on our webpage. So
hey, we've got it all.
I guess we do. That whole string of things. I should probably explore that once in a while. That's all the part of this social networking craze where you can essentially tag something for whatever network that you're a frequenter of.
That's right. It makes it really easy. I always post a link to it on my Facebook profile, so any of my Facebook friends, maybe they aren't connected to me through Wells or through the Wells Tech podcast, but they're aware of the new podcast, and maybe there'll be something that interests them there, and they can listen and find a new favorite podcast to listen to. I did want to correct one thing Gail said. She mentioned Maria Anderson. That was the Muskegon Community College instructor that we talked about in our last show. Mm-hmm. And her Twitter name is Busyness Girl. So I didn't want anybody to go look for
Busy
the wrong
girl.
Twitter name.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's great to find new people to follow on Twitter. I had a few new followers this week, Martin. I don't know about you, but
I
think the network is growing. So that's exciting to see.
We'll have to compare followers one time and see see who's ahead.
There a competition there?
That's right. I'm very competitive by nature. Just ask my wife. All right. Next comment.
Yeah, and it actually ties into that conversation. We heard from Alyssa Dunning, who works in our web services office there at the Senate headquarters, and she sent us a great link to the Ultimate Guide for Everything Twitter. So we'll make sure and include that link in the show notes. It's from a blog by Web Designer Depot, and I was real impressed with the blog in general. So
I was
definitely
too.
Think you want to check this out, and then maybe just consider that as a blog. You can actually follow them on Twitter as well. So lots of good stuff to get you going on Twitter and kind of explain the jargon, and I shared it with several people. Seems like it's kind of the question of the week lately to what is Twitter? What are tweets? Blah, blah, blah. So it's a good reference to be able to share with folks who are trying to learn about it.
We should probably have more of a dedicated show for it. It's really becoming mainstream as you're hearing it. You're hearing it in the news almost every day at this point with celebrities and others that are, Barack Obama and Mark Cuban was in the news. He got fined for twittering about some bad officiating in one of the basketball games of. He owns the Dallas Mavericks, so he got fined $25,000 for tweeting that, they screwed up, and just an amazing phenomenon. It's just, it seems like in just the past month, it's exploded.
Definitely. I even heard of someone doing an interview with John McCain over Twitter.
Yep.
So,
140 characters at a time, right?
Exactly. It's kind of
that's kind of the way I'd like to hear my politicians.
Exactly.
Just 140 characters at a time, please.
Limit them. That's
short and to the point. Don't give me all the junk. If you'd like to follow Sally on Twitter, that is Wells Tech Trainer, right?
That's correct, Martin.
And I am M. Spriggs. Next.
Next, we heard from someone from your home congregation, Shelley Karstens at Peace in Hartford, Wisconsin, and she was sharing a link to a recent conference that she attended. It was by The Wisconsin Educational Media and Technology Association. Looked like a really awesome conference. Yeah, mm-hmm. Tech and media. And one thing that you found, you trolled around the site a little bit and found a presentation by someone named Lucy Gray. Mm-hmm. And Lucy did something on personal learning networks. So it ties right back to our show last week. She had a great handout that we wanted to link to.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Just really covered all the bases with PLNs and would be a good place for you to start maybe if you're trying to educate the rest of your staff about starting a personal learning network. This would be a great handout to use there. I was quite impressed with Lucy Gray, the speaker that was at this conference. She has her own website called High Tech Pictations, and she has the presentation that she did available out on her website as well. So lots of cool stuff there to follow. I think I even began following her on Twitter. So she looked
idea.
Like a real interesting lady to follow and stuff.
Lucy Gray with an A .org. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
then we
correct.
Heard from our friend Tim Wagner. We've heard from Tim in the past from Abiding Peace in Elgin, Illinois.
That's right. It was actually Tim's question that we were answering last week when you referenced the ponyfish being able to scrape your page and create an RSS
feed. Which didn't work for Gail and didn't work for Tim either.
Actually,
it was a solution for the wrong problem.
That's right. He was looking to actually more of a bookmarking service, being able to identify articles or web pages that he came across, maybe articles in the news that are posted on the web about members of his congregation or goings on that would affect his congregation, and then bring those into his website via an RSS feed. And so we came up with a better solution for him, and that was to use Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you not familiar with Delicious, you can get to it at delicious.com, and it's basically a social bookmarking site, so you can see other people's bookmarks, things they're reading or interested in or found helpful on the web, and you can bookmark your own items. And then once you've created bookmarked items, you can grab an RSS feed of those, maybe for a particular tag that you're using or whatever. So I think that's going to serve Pastor Wagner better than the ponyfish idea, which was kind of going the other direction.
Yeah, I think we were kind of talking past each other as to what he was looking for. And when we queried him a little bit further, when he sent another email saying thanks for the ponyfish update, but didn't.
No thanks.
It didn't work. Then it was kind of interesting. Both you and I, Sally, saw the email and responded with the same solution at the same time. So he got the double-barreled shotgun of Delicious, but I think that will actually do the trick for him.
That's great. So we hope to help. And if we don't answer it right the first time, don't give up. Keep knocking on that door. Hopefully we can find a solution.
That's right.
Next, we heard from Chris Hintz, who's a fifth and sixth grade teacher at Emmaus Lutheran in Phoenix, Arizona. And he was actually working with his staff and trying to reduce the amount of copying that they were doing in their school office. And he was thinking that we had talked about that before on a previous Wells Tech episode. And it just gave us an opportunity, Martin, I don't know about you, to kind of take a trip down memory lane. Boy, when you start looking back over how many shows, 65 shows now, we've talked about paperless offices in a lot of different contexts, and mm-hmm. we were able to supply a few links to different episodes, and it just made me kind of excited that we do have this audio archive to pull from and be able to go back and listen to those previous shows and that information that we've shared in the past.
Yep. So thank you for the feedback, Chris. Appreciate that. And we heard from our good friend John Shoesmith again.
That's right. John is our closed captioning expert in the Wells. He's out at Redeemer in Yakima, Washington. And I just wanted to mention that John took some time to update the Wells Tech Wiki. You can find that at wellstech.wetpaint.com. And that's our community website where we've tried to build some of these church media resources as well as website resources and that kind of thing. And we have some information out there dedicated to closed captioning. So John's made some edits to the page. The last time we heard from John, he was quite disappointed that Google Video was no longer accepting videos and was looking more to using YouTube for videos.
Other way around, right? Or no, was it?
Yeah.
Now I'm confused.
Yeah, I think Google Video is going down.
Okay, that's right.
No longer accepting. And they were the perfect candidate for this closed captioning because they allowed longer videos.
Right.
Longer
and YouTube
than 10
doesn't,
minutes.
Right.
And YouTube doesn't at this point. But he's got some more information, and he's willing to continue to work towards solutions for closed captioning. So keep your eye on that page. If you create an account out on the wiki, you'll get these really slick weekly updates anytime things change on the page. So real impressed with Wet Paint and their platform for building a wiki. And just remind all of you, if you have expertise that you want to share, if you have questions that you want to ask, that's probably a good place for you to look.
Yep, very good. Mm-hmm. And finally,
our last comment came from Wayne Cattell, who's a member of Emmanuel and is at Kewaunee, Wisconsin.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to know all these Indian names when you live in Wisconsin.
That's right. Wayne sent us some really great information. It's something we've talked about in the past, Martin, but not real recently. And it's related to the FAA changes to the broadcast bands and how that might affect your wireless microphones, particularly if you're using older wireless mm-hmm. microphones that broadcast on the frequencies that are now being taken over for some television frequencies. And Wayne provided some great links to kind of read up on it and see what to do about these issues if it is, in fact, affecting you.
Very good. Thank you to everybody who contributed, and know that the door is always open, and if you contribute, we'll likely bring up your comments, whatever, on the show and talk about them. So please keep them coming. You know by now all the ways to contact us. The best way is to go to the website and see what we've been talking about, and there's a comment box there. There's all kinds of other links that you can get in touch with us. All right, next week we will be talking about Internet Evangelism Day, which is something that we talked about, I think, last year at some point. That's coming up again this year, and it's a day that is, you know, kind of those on the web have kind of picked a day for this, you know, those in ministry and those people that try and find intersections with technology like we do on the show. And so it's kind of a cool thing. We'll throw out some ideas about how to use the internet for evangelism, whether that be corporately as a congregation or as a school or personally, individually. And we've talked about that many times over the course of this podcast, but I think we'll talk about some good resources there. And we hope to have an interview with Dr. John Lorenz from Asia Lutheran Seminary, who is using technology in some neat ways to do just that, both on the evangelism side and also on the seminary/training side. So he's been in this space for quite some time. They've been using video technology in particular, and I think there's some neat things that we can talk about with Dr. John Lorenz. Sally, that's going to do it for the show. We made it through. Sans Rob, our favorite security expert. Hopefully we'll have Rob on, and hopefully, Rob, you are feeling well soon. We'll keep you in our prayers. Let's close the show with the music of Mike Wessendorf, his song Cling from the album Run, Boy, Run. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Set me free.